Who is Santa?
Santa lives in the North Pole.
Yeah.
With elves and, like, Mrs. Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and his reindeer.
You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, Rach.
Hello, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yeah, I really am. I feel like it's been a big year, and, you know, working at home kind of has diminished a little bit the homeliness of home. So, we're both having a big break, and it's going to be lovely to just be.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know. I'm not having the same vibe. I did hear that everyone's having a big Christmas, like, to self-soothe from the year to come. I don't want to bring the tone down, but it is going to be a bit different for our family with my mum not here.
Of course it is.
But I don't know. I think I'm still in self-imposed isolation mode where I'm still happy to be like, yeah, we can give some things a miss.
Yeah.
Blame COVID.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I'm not talking a big, well, like, there's no bigness to our Christmas. Right. It's regular sized.
Yes.
But just the not working while being at home. Being at home to just be was going to be lovely.
So theoretically, what do you think? If Santa doesn't arrive at our house, can I blame COVID? He got lost?
Well, you could try, but I know that the Premier of our state has already declared that he's all good. They've done the paperwork.
Good to know.
Because
the Tooth Fairy did get lost during isolation. So
that happens.
It happens. Couple of nights in a row, really.
Yeah. But you know what else, what happens with the Tooth Fairy is that if the Tooth Fairy doesn't have a clear path,
yes,
then they oftentimes will you know, just say, look, I can't get through all of this stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, please tidy up. I think that's important.
That's
too
important.
So we were going to talk Christmas today because, you know, obviously it's Christmas and I'm you just delightedly invited us over to watch a movie that I have never seen and that people talk about at Christmas time all the time. So we're going to talk about Elf.
We are.
And I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
Because I was reluctant because Will Ferrell is not one of my faves.
And then
there's something really nice about being with children in those kind of movies and delighting in their delight.
Yeah, I agree, because I think I saw Elf pre-children at first and I wasn't too delighted by it.
Yep.
Grown man, kind of acting like a young boy in some ways. So, you know, but I do like Will Ferrell. I think he's hilarious.
I know. So. But I think he walked that line of childlike, not childish, really nicely, I think. Because, you know, obviously Buddy. Okay, let's talk about Elf first.
Yes. Give us a plot synopsis.
So, baby born to two parents, one of whom disappears and the other of whom dies. So the mum dies, baby ends up in the orphanage. I maybe should have prefaced with spoiler, but I think most people have seen it. I'm the only one who missed out. Anyway, in the orphanage, Santa comes and he puts his sack on the ground and the baby crawls into it and ends up the first human up at the North Pole. And he's raised as an elf.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely delightful that he's, you know, the elf that decides to adopt him is Bob Newhart.
Yes.
But of course, you know, he is a human and he grows and he is a large human. So he's this 6'2" giant in this elf world and everything that comes from that. And then, of course, he gets told about he's actually a human. He finds out, he figures it out, he works it out.
Yeah.
And goes to find his actual father who left when he was, you know, before he was born. Didn't know he was born, in fact.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, he obviously growing up in this elf world is, you know, in a childlike state because you have to focus on making the toys and you have to focus on Christmas all year long. And it is a beautiful,
and magic is real.
Magical thing.
And it's all about the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, the spirit.
And
indeed.
What does he say? Singing Christmas carols, Christmas with all cheer. Of our heart.
Something about singing is
I can't
here.
Remember it. Yeah. There's some kind of quote.
There's a
singing
little
loud for all to hear.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah. That's when you bring the Christmas cheer.
So then he goes to New York City
to find
his father, who's some kind of like jaded executive who does not much appreciate this kind of elf costume character showing up and saying, Daddy!
And it's really fun. Mm. It's actually really fun. Mm. There's something really nice about remembering the magic mm-hmm. of Christmas. Because mm-hmm. sometimes people forget about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a lot of heart.
Yeah. It does have a lot of heart.
Yeah.
So my kids loved it.
Yeah.
We were giggling along with your kids, I think, which mm-hmm. was delightful. And popcorn and yeah. ice cream sundaes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. You spoiled us rotten.
Oh, let's just interject here about the ice cream sundaes.
Can we just tell the story about the ice cream sundaes?
We watched Home Alone the week before
yep.
with the kids. Best Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And and there's that scene where Kevin McAllister's sitting there watching the like scary movie with the gangsters in black and white mm-hmm. and he's eating this massive big plate with like a whole kind of tub of ice cream with like chocolate topping and marshmallows and this mountain.
Basically my dream.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so I don't think I even told you this. I was sitting there that week and we'd already had our pizza and I was watching Kevin McAllister's ice cream and I was like, I so want that sundae right now on my lap. So I pulled out my Uber Eats.
You didn't tell me this.
I know. I still had credit on my Uber Eats.
Oh, beautiful.
Some lovely ladies put credit on there for me. And I was like, I know it's really exorbitant, but I'm going to get them to deliver us ice cream. We couldn't find marshmallows, so it was more ice cream and like yep. some chocolate and lollies and stuff.
Nice.
So the following week, knowing you guys were coming over, I was like, I'm actually going to go invest in the Kevin McAllister dream and serve it up to you guys.
I love that. Because there's something nice about those little traditions about watching a particular movie and yeah. doing the thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I love that.
Ooh, mince pies on Christmas Eve while we watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, which you introduced me to last year.
The best.
Oh, speaking of which, sorry, tangent.
Yeah.
So Paul and I went to the movies this week and saw Happiest Season.
Right.
Which is a new Christmas movie, Kristen Stewart, Daniel Levy from Schitt's Creek,
yeah.
and oh, Mary Steenburgen, who I adore.
Yes.
Who else? Lots of people in it.
Who anyway, is also in Elf.
Who is also in Elf.
Ding,
I know,
ding, ding,
ding, ding. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun movie. But yeah, they had at the cinema in the town that they were, you know, this movie was set in, was It's a Wonderful Life mm-hmm. running on Christmas, you know.
Yep.
It made me smile.
I'm going to do another segue on It's a Wonderful Life.
Do please.
Christmas porno.
Oh.
So my dad wrote a porno.
Yes.
Christmas special.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I haven't listened to that pod for a long time.
Yeah, I think I still had it on my subscribe list.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they haven't done a new season for a while or
right.
whatever. And so it popped up, Christmas special. I think they've done it every year. So Rocky Flintstone has written a Christmas special, I think, every year.
Amazing.
And it's called It's a Blinking Life. And it's loosely based on
It's a Wonderful Life. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
but in a My Dad Wrote a Porno kind of way.
Amazing.
If you don't know what we're talking about, get across it.
Yes.
My Dad Wrote a Porno, the podcast.
Yeah, but I must say I kind of was like, yeah, it's reached the limit of what I can take of this particular one. It
yes.
was funny for a while and
I think,
now I'm done.
Well, maybe after a break you might go revisit it. I
yeah.
did laugh. I lolled
oh,
out loud.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
This is good to know.
And, of course, my husband again said, what rubbish are you listening to?
I used to – you know when you used to go on a plane and you'd put – it was only the radio programs you could listen to. It was before they had screens.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have the comedy channel that you would – you know, and I would be one of those people on the plane listening to the comedy channel
yeah.
and laughing out loud
uh-huh.
on a plane full of people looking at you going, what on earth are you laughing at? So now I do that with podcasts.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I know, right?
Including I listen to podcasts at work.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm, you know, whiling away doing my thing,
mm-hmm.
I will listen to podcasts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're like.
Yeah. Got to not go a comedy one in those moments.
Exactly. But Elf is magic and beautiful and a reminder of Christmas spirit.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yeah.
And I it's funny because that magic aspect, I think, is a really interesting thing. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, you know, how do we talk about magic and all that sort of Santa wonderfulness, mm-hmm. On the pod, knowing that we have a very diverse listenership. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the magic, mm-hmm. and the mythology and the wonder that is these beautiful stories.
Yes. Yes.
What are those kind of stories do for us? What is mythology and magic, and, you know, what does it do for us as small humans and big humans?
So I did do a little bit of Googling research.
Ooh,
because
Google-ay.
We were kind of like, we want to talk about magic, stories, mythology. And what's interesting to me is that we were trying to do like a pop culture sort of tie-in, and it was like, everything that gets released in the media is very, very careful,
yes.
to, you know, support the delight of children,
yes.
around this time.
Yeah.
But I did click on a few little listicles that were sort of – not listicles, actually, like blogs that someone picks up and makes into an article,
right.
which is one person's opinion,
uh-huh.
about the damage that might be inflicted upon children – if we incite mythology, or if there's some kind of tradition that we're nurturing in our home, and as the children get older, for whatever reason, there's a breaking of that tradition or mm-hmm. idea, that's going to somehow be psychologically damaging.
Right. So what's your take on this, psychologist Rach?
Well, I think that – so the listicle part is that there were a few people going, yes, I was damaged.
Oh.
And I'm like –
thanks, Helen Waters, year four. Yes, I was.
Need to hit – we'll press pause on that story, Helen, if you're listening. You ruined Nicole's life. I don't know. I think that trauma is inflicted by a whole bunch of environmental factors.
Mm-hmm.
It just has never occurred to me as a professional that traumatic stories about Christmas might be such a shattering of an idea,
yeah.
that it would be something kind of integral to your adult personality formation.
Yeah.
And I certainly never heard of it in my 17 years in the clinic. I've never heard anyone say, well, it all happened.
And I think that's I think there's something in the way it's done as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways in which you can talk through traditions,
mm-hmm.
and talk through mythologies and storytelling and things like that, mm-hmm. that actually add to it.
Yeah.
Add to the magic and yeah. the mystery and the wonder.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hoped to ask Big One and Big Two about that, but I asked Big Three – sorry, Small One, Big Three. Getting so big now that she's becoming a big small one. And I will put a little bit in here about the beauty of mythology from her point of view. But yeah, it would be interesting to hear from them. I just know that I moved to Queensland, mm-hmm. and moved into grade four,
mm-hmm.
and didn't feel like I belonged very much,
mm-hmm.
and then my tradition bubble was popped by Helen Waters.
Right.
Just
randomly out of the blue. Just came up to you and said, do you know what?
Yes.
Nicole.
Yes. apropos of nothing. No, there was definitely context.
Gotcha.
But you know, much like Small One, I was very, very much into creative and imaginative play. Mm. I had an imaginary friend, and, you know, my imagination and wonder and joy were all kind of tied up together. And mm-hmm. so then, you know, moved up to Queensland, tradition and magic bubble was kind of popped on me. And,
yeah.
and I was like, I hate this place.
Aww.
I want to move home.
Queensland is horrible.
Poor Helen. I speak so ill. She's a lovely young person. I haven't seen her for a long time, but she, you know, the poor thing would probably be absolutely mortified that this is a memory that I have. But yeah, it's
– well, a similar thing happened to one of my twins in their, like, prep or grade one.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, we sort of, like, talked around the issue and it was sort of, like, put to bed. But, yeah, and so – all right, let me be professional, Rach.
Yeah, go on.
Let me just have a sip of my tea of the day.
Oh,
go.
Sorry, we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
You have a tea advent calendar, and I am amazed by it, and I'm very impressed. Today was
T2. I don't know how long they've done it at T2, but last year I tried to buy one. They were all sold out.
Wow.
So this year I was like,
on that.
Getting on it. It's
good
happening.
For you.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's been really fun.
That's so nice.
Tea a day.
Yeah.
Yay.
I was trying to find the Twinings one that you got me last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the tea, the Christmas tea.
No idea where I got that from.
Have not been able to find it anywhere.
No, it was in a Christmas tin.
Yeah.
No idea where I got it. It might have just been at Woolies one year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will have to Google it.
Yeah.
So, yes, professional rage.
So, in general, these widely held cultural beliefs are incredibly helpful for how we bond together and unite around a central kind of common view of the world.
Yeah.
And it is kind of interesting when you look at the sort of dismantling of religion in the modern world and the way that there's much more atheism, secularism. Which I think probably is largely due to the institution of those faith-based organisations and their mismanagement. But, you know, I think it's really well evidenced and really just from an anthropological point of view that sort of people being united around storytelling that describes how and why things exist in our world and that celebrates, you know, the passing of years and particular times in the calendar. It's like integral to our sense of humanity and connectedness as a culture.
Yeah.
And to zoom in then to like the individual psychology of it, we know that it's a real kind of risk factor for people when they are disenfranchised and can't buy into, say, religious belief. It puts them at a disadvantage when it comes to how they might navigate the demands of the stuff that life throws at you.
Right.
So religion, broadly, and religious belief builds resilience and that ability to bounce back.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So in place of that, or, you know, in addition or you know, tangentially in addition to that is the whole other storytelling around, you know, St. Nick, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, however you want to say it. And so that building that story around that whole tradition just adds to that for us as a sort of cultural, societal little
I think
blanket.
So. I worry that the Santa tradition persists because it's wrapped up with commercialism,
capitalism.
Correct. But in some ways, thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think I've even said on the podcast last year that my husband's like a real kind of, you know, anti-Christmas kind of like, you know, do we have to, right?
Total Grinch,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm a little bit like you, kind of like, I don't, you know, it's a choice really to kind of lose the magic and wonder of Christmas, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't think I ever lost it either.
Yep.
And so, of course, when it came to us having kids, I'm like, well, this is the thing that we're doing. And he was like, no. Why? And I'm like, because it's the thing.
And it's fun.
But you know, I love a Festivus of any description.
Exactly.
I'll get behind
on Happy Festivus anytime.
I will. Any kind of cultural tradition, like, I'm there.
Yeah. We're into the whole Diwali and we're into the, you
correct.
Know,
if they'll have me, I'll show up.
Yep. Kwanzaa. We're doing it all.
Doing it all.
I think the idea of a culturally kind of celebratory thing, something that connects everybody in some way, and there's joy and celebration in it.
Yeah.
How could that be bad?
How could it be bad? There's feasting, there's, you know, and I also think, like, one thing that's definitely true is that in the clients that I see, a lot of them describe Christmas as being stressful.
Of course.
And outright triggering.
Yeah.
And I think that for people who have difficulties in their family relationships, there's so much emphasis on family.
Yeah.
You must have family. You must do family. It's all about family. Mm. And, you know, some people are really disenfranchised from their family for good reason. And, you know, some of them replace that with, like, the family you choose and have friend traditions. But I think some people I've supported around just how can we get through this season, you know, and it's a choice if you want to participate in that stuff or not.
Yeah.
And also, here's how to use boundaries.
Good
you
lesson
do not
boundaries.
Have to do all of the things.
No, that is an excellent point because there are a lot of families for which this time is really, really challenging, and people's behavior, if they're off work and maybe certain addictions or certain, you know, poor behaviors actually escalate because they've got more time or they've got time off work or whatever.
Yeah,
there are definitely going to be people who are suffering through this time and who are challenged by this time. Yeah. I know, like in our family, the things, so I think I've told you before, my auntie is has schizophrenia, and some of her worst kind of episodes have been around Christmas, and in fact she is currently in a psych ward right now because she's had another situation, and it's almost like the lead up to Christmas maybe didn't help with that. So the pressure of this time sometimes can be a lot. But there are places that you can kind of find information about. I'm sure that there is stuff on Beyond Blue and all those other kind of organizations that you know, Lifeline and that kind of thing, that you can go to actually have someone support you. Because I have been incredibly lucky that while Christmas was always busy for Mum and Dad, you know, the butcher shop, it was the busiest time of the year. Mum really focused on Christmas being a fabulous, loving, wonderful time. And so those memories are really strong and something that I want to then, you want to then pass on as a, as a tradition. And so I just love the idea of Christmas and being together and unwrapping little gifts and, you know, not, I don't want to make it a big thing. The gift part.
But make your own traditions.
Yes.
You know? So to circle back to Elf.
Please do.
If Buddy teaches us nothing else.
Buddy teaches us a lot.
Buddy teaches us a lot.
Indeed. Yellow leggings. And not a great look for a 6 foot two man. That's what he teaches us.
I can't help but think of, you know, who's the person on set that does the continuity or whatever? Like, I wonder if there was like a codpiece kind of like unit manager in charge of that business.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of business going on.
Making sure it was all like appropriately framed.
Yes, I know. I did think of that actually. Because yes, leggings, no pants, people, if you haven't seen it. It's a whole thing.
But I love the part where he just kind of takes over the department store and just like spends all the night like decorating everything. And like the reaction of people, you know, pissed off, like, why have they come in and kind of done all of this magic? And he's like, it's just Christmas magic. Like, I just think we can craft our own stories and our own traditions because, again, we're a multicultural country.
Absolutely.
And there is a lot of this kind of, even, you know, my Swiss friends are very kind of like, oh, Santa Claus. Well, we call him, you know, St. Nicholas and this, that and the other and blah, 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 blah. And my kids are like, huh? And it's like, well, you know, even just Jesus being born and Santa Claus and that whole thing, it doesn't kind of make a lot of sense.
It doesn't. Much like the whole bunny and the eggs and the, it's very weird.
Yeah, it doesn't Easter really matter. Time. Which means, you know, we don't have to pass on those same traditions that we've inherited from the people in our family. One really interesting, I mean, I was hardly on Facebook recently. I don't know how I was there, but on the Chat 10 Looks 3, Facebook group thing with like 75 million members has, someone had posted something like, what is everybody's traditions for Christmas Eve? Because I think this person was saying, I want to create a tradition for my little family. And I'm just curious because I don't really want to have like, you know, a big feast or whatever, because that will probably be Christmas Day.
And, and that's work.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just nice to see this diversity that some people were like, we always get in the car and go and see the Christmas lights.
Oh, wow.
And some people were like, we always have, you know, seafood, prawns, and then we have the meat dish the next day.
Oh, there you go.
People who were saying, we always give each other Christmas pajamas and then we get in our pajamas and watch a Christmas movie.
Oh, is that is it Norwegian that they do books on Christmas Eve?
Ah, right.
Yeah, so pajamas and books on Christmas Eve, and they get in them on Christmas Eve and read their books and be by the fire because, you know, they can be.
Yeah, you know, and for some people, like, Christmas Eve is the big thing, or, you know, like Christmas Day or Boxing Day or... You know, and for us, like, we've been doing sort of the whole kind of round robin of, like, the entire December.
Yep, same.
But that's all stuff that I want to do because it's meaningful to me. Mm. So our little mums group always, for the last few years, have done a bring a plate and,
yep.
you know, Christmas spread. And I was just saying to her how exhausted I was last weekend. And I was like, oh, exhaustion part of me doesn't want to go. But Christmas spirit of me is like, there's no way I'm missing that.
Exactly.
And we have another catch up with my close friends from high school. And again, I'm like, I am not missing that for the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I don't know, what's the moral? Just do you.
Yeah. Do you. And I like that.
What did you say about context when it comes to mythology? I think there's sort of sensitive ways to go about the conversations that we have with our kids.
Yeah. And including that that having the understanding of the background of that mythology
mm-hmm.
is then a magic
yeah.
that you hold.
Yeah.
And a power that you hold that yeah. you need to be careful and cautious and loving and delightful with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was kind of the conversation I remember mm-hmm. with Big One, waited until Big Two was asleep in the car
mm-hmm.
To ask the questions about it. And yeah, it was around passing on the tradition in a loving, kind mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. that then made Big One realize that she was a yes. holder of magic.
That's
she
holder had the power. Of magic.
She had the power to yes. be the holder of magic.
Yes.
So, you know,
so there's a nice segue between being the participant of magic.
Yes.
And then you get to graduate to the holder of the magic.
Exactly.
Oh, Nick, you're a genius.
No, I'm sure I read it somewhere. It was pre Facebook, so maybe I didn't read it somewhere. I don't know. But
I'm giving you credit.
Thank you very much. I'll take it.
And also what sparked the elf thing is how I sent you a meme with him going up to Santa because, of course, Buddy kind of goes, Santa's coming to the department store. Santa's coming.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand about department store Santas.
It's a whole different thing, department store Santas.
So he goes up to him and starts abusing him. What is this fake beard? And
yeah.
You stink. You smell. You know, the real Santa smells like, I don't know,
I can't remember
cherries
said,
and nutmeg and yeah. Who knows, like whatever.
I know.
But what I say in the meme, like, you sit upon a throne of lies.
And I did not know what that meant because I'd never seen Buddy.
Uh-huh.
I'd never seen Elf. So now I know.
We do not want to trigger off that reaction inside of anybody.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, I like that idea of graduating from participant in magic to holder
yeah.
of magic. I love that. That
uh-huh.
sounds beautiful.
Sounds
Speaking
beautiful.
Of magic, ooh, we have presents.
God, I nearly forgot.
I didn't forget.
Should I go first?
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I am holding a little popcorn container
mm-hmm.
with your pop psychology little sticker on it.
Indeed,
and you've given
do.
Me, oh my gosh, you've given me tea. Of course you've given me tea.
Of course.
And oh, and chocolate and candy canes and oh, eggnog tea.
It's probably gross. Smile for the camera.
Oh, okay, wait.
Hold your eggnog tea.
Oh, wait. Oh, there's even confetti. Hang on, wait.
Gorgeous.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Oh, this is a whole situation. What's that?
It's actually really awesome. I'm very proud of myself.
Oh, look at my Christmas tree earrings.
Christmas tree earrings.
It is always tea time. Oh, my word. Look at those.
You've got some little badge pins.
They're
You've
beautiful.
Got some, so this is a tea strainer that's shaped like a lollipop.
Oh, this is amazing. I'm gonna spread it all out and take a photo and we'll pop it on so that you can see. This is gorgeous. Thank
You're very
you, my
welcome.
Love. Oh, and a candy cane that I will eat later because you know I love lollies.
And in lieu of a card, let me just say this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. What I treasure the most in this world is the family that we create around ourselves.
Mm.
And gosh, my family have all said to me what a delight it was to have Nicole's family over last week.
Oh, it was so fun.
It was so fun. It was so lighthearted. It was – our kids get along.
I know. you guys don't know, but they're all here. They're all here at the moment.
They're all here playing.
And they're quiet and playing nicely.
Sick.
I mean, I
There's
probably
been a few years
it.
In which they're like, who? Who are those children?
Yeah.
So it's all kind of clicking.
All clicking together now.
And yeah. I just really, I don't think you even know how much I might not have kept my head above water this year if it weren't for you.
Oh, babe. I love you. And we've got headsets on, so I can't cuddle you right now, but I will give you the biggest squeeze in just a minute.
Laugh crying now.
Laugh crying. I love laugh crying. It's the best kind of crying.
I didn't quite know that was going to explode like that.
Oh, babe.
I already did the tears podcast.
We're allowed to do more than one tear.
Thank you, beautiful.
Because you are a star. You get beautiful biscuit stars.
Winner.
Mm-hmm. Dipped in chocolate. Dipped in chocolate.
Gingerbread stars dipped in chocolate.
Yeah. Now, I find llamas hilarious.
Yes.
You probably can see, we're sitting in my bedroom right now, and on my bedside table is a little llama jewelry holder.
Yeah.
I just think they're hilarious.
A llama dish. So do you take your rings off every night?
No, just those ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, my ring doesn't come off, so I always wonder what people do.
No, I keep my wedding and my engagement rings on, but then I have an 18th and a, yeah. Yes.
I just saw that my llama cup has a little heat protective thing that has my name on it.
Yeah.
And it says, "You go, girl. Rachel, be anything but predictable."
Indeed.
Well, that's me.
That is you.
If you predict I'll be on time, you predicted wrong.
No, it was pretty good today. I was really impressed. I said to the kids, they said, "What time is Rachel and the kids coming?" And I said, 3:15, so probably 3:30-ish.
Seriously, I pulled up at 3:15.
I was so impressed.
Yeah, and but like course, I said to you, I did have a little bit of yelling around the house going, "Put on Christmas-themed shirts and Santa hats. Joy of the season."
And, of course, I had to give you tea.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Lemon and ginger.
I love that you give me tea and I give you tea. Thank you, my darling. This is beautiful.
You're very welcome. This will be well used, my coffee cup.
Excellent.
Coffee, tea and cookies. You're a winner.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, you're all covered now.
Yes.
And the kids made brownies yesterday, so there was brownies here when you got here. I was, you know, I'm all over it.
It's all happening. Alrighty.
So, everyone, thank you for a wonderful return to listening. I mean, we really gave you a heck of a wait this year, and we appreciate that you have hung in there with us. And we delight in hanging out together and doing this. So any suggestions for podcasting ideas for next year, please head on over to Pop the Kettle On, It's Always Tea Time on Facebook, and let us know what you want us to talk about next year.
Absolutely.
Because we will be coming back, as always.
Yeah.
So yes, and you can find Rach at Little Shop of Pop. Mm-hmm. You can find me at Nicole Lessio on Twitter, and obviously us on Facebook. And thanks for hanging in with us.
Indeed.
Yeah. So this Christmas, what does everybody need to do, Rach?
Hug the babies.
Hug the babies.
Or whoever you have.
Exactly. Or yourself, if that's the case, too. Because you're awesome sauce, wherever you are and whoever you are.
Hug your babies. Tell them you fell in love with them and are worried that they're going to be spoiled for the rest of their life. It's really funny. There's this real myth around, like, a lot of mums I work with feel bad because they didn't instantly fall in love with their baby.
Oh, I didn't.
No, but it did happen to me once.
Yes.
With one of them.
Yeah.
I was telling Nick just before.
You were.
I held my youngest and I went, "You're in trouble." You're in trouble.
No, I definitely did not feel that with Big One. In fact, I looked at her and went, "Oh crap, what do I do now?" I had no idea about babies.
Yeah.
Paul has a younger brother who's 13 years younger.
Yeah.
He had all of the info about babies. I knew nothing.
He's a good man.
Yes, indeed he
is. Well, they just need to be hugged.
That's true.
Don't we all? Jesus.
Yes, we do, which we'll do as soon as we get these off. Mm-hmm. So hug your babies and be kind to yourselves.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Look forward to it. Bye, guys.
Bye.
So how does Santa get into our place?
Well, not by the chimney, obviously. We have no chimney.
Correct.
But I think there's like a special like key that he can get into houses without chimneys.
That's what I've always been told. Mm. He has a magic key.